When I'm 64. Now, here is some incredibly good news, and it's a big surprise. This is where I was supposed to start the show by saying, oh, well, I'm missing Vicky. And what happens? She walks in through the door. And she assumed that I wasn't going to be here.
Just hopped off a plane for you, Brody.
So she has. She's just literally got off a plane this morning. And bless her, she is looking a bit worn from after a bad flight.
Considering I've had a lovely holiday, though.
You have had it. So let's go into that. I'm now going to hand this back to you because this is your driving seat. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Brody.
How are you? Did you have a good time?
I had a wonderful time whilst away. I was in Bali. Lovely and warm, and bit of a weather shock when I hopped off the plane this morning, I will say.
Yes, it would have been. Is Bali as friendly as ever?
Oh, it was beautiful. Feel very safe on the streets. Mm. Lovely people, very friendly, and yeah, there's. I think it's more interesting some of the cultural diversities of the Aussies that actually go.
Yes, I know, isn't it depressing, isn't it? Yes.
Sometimes it's quite interesting. But no, I had a lovely time to celebrate two different 50ths. So it was like a 100th birthday celebration.
they don't refer it to that.
No. But
so no one's pushing Zimmer frames or anything?
None of us, thankfully.
Halfway there.
Halfway there we were. But let's hope we're partying as much at our 100ths as we were at the 50ths.
Well, I feel awfully guilty of this, but who have we got on the show today?
Today we have Peter Nilsson with us and Tom Camp. So they'll be talking to us, as always, about the nuances of ageing, mm-hmm. and more so about finances and funding in retirement village life. And for the second half, we have two guests talking to us today about an awful concern within the community, and that is elder abuse. Mm. First is Jeanette, and she'll be raising awareness for World Elder Abuse Day, which will be on June 15. And following on from that, we'll be calling Serge Sado, who's CEO of the Family Mediation and Counselling Organisation mm-hmm. here, and talk to him about the services they provide to help combat elder abuse.
Well, it's going to be a full show.
It is. It is a full show. So let's go.
Let's get the music. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
Help, you know I need someone. Help. Welcome to the show, Peter Nilsson and Tom Camp. How are you both, gentlemen?
We're good. Oh, I'm good. Can't speak for you.
I'm as good as I really look, man.
That's always good.
We're fantastic, Vicky.
Well, thanks for coming
in. It's good that you had a good holiday.
Did. Thank you very much.
And this is the first show of winter.
Oh, it is. Because we're June. Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. Mm. And halfway through the year. How crazy is that?
Mm. Oh. Scary.
Everyone's looking very rugged up.
Oh, we still look as good as we did last year, though. Yeah.
Now, last week we were talking about funding and financing and all the other bits and pieces, and there's an awful lot of it still to cover. We haven't covered anything. We covered off the living, going to retirement village area, mm-hmm. but not into care. So we haven't covered that. We haven't covered what happens when you buy a place and when you pass on, or, you know, when you will and all the rest of it.
The departure fees.
Yep. Yep. So let's start off, I think. We'll start off with that.
Yes, the departure fees and how getting in, yep. getting out, so to speak.
So first of all, I'm going to buy a place in a retirement village. I've bought one, okay? Now, what happens when it comes to the end of the term? How are all those fundings calculated?
Well, Pete's going to tell you about deferred management fees
yep.
and a traditional retirement village residence contract.
Yep. So there are different types of
yep.
contracts.
And if I can get a word in edgeways at some point at the end of the show, I can tell you about some of the regional alternative ones we've had, which are rental or leasehold.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because we in the traditional retirement space, what we've found in regional Victoria is that they have not enjoyed the capital gains that we've enjoyed in Victoria. So affordability is a very big issue for a traditional slab on ground, traditional retirement villa. And so for every one person that can afford to pay $400,000 or $500,000 for a residence contract to live in a retirement villages such as Village Glen and Stewie's Baxter Village, We have three people that can't afford to come because median house prices in Gippsland varies from about 270 through to 400.
Very different.
So the downsizing and having some money left over, that pressure is quite substantial, but you've still got to provide great accommodation with the thing. So deferred management fee, Pete, I'll handball that one to you, bro. And then
okay, so the other. I think if we go back to the start of the industry, clearly these businesses like the Village Land and Village Baxter and others are businesses run, I hesitate the word, use the word profit, but they're businesses run for a surplus, because if you don't create surpluses, you can't generate what you need to support your residents. So let's call it profit for want of a better word. So many years ago, there's a term that's used as deferred management fee. So the concept, the original concept was that retirement village units were sold for less than the market value of the property in the surrounding area, let's say 80%. So a unit in a village
is traditionally 80% was, if you were outside the village.
Right. It would be. And so if, when they built the villages, the developers or the owners of the village, they needed some device to make a profit. So when they sold the unit for the first time new, typically, there was hardly any surplus left. By the time they provided all the services and all the things that go with it, and bearing in mind the price is 80% of the surrounding property, there wasn't a lot of surplus. So they created a device called a deferred management fee. If you like, the profit was made at the back end. So people are not making the profits or the surpluses when they sell the unit to you. They are making it when they sell a unit for you. And typically we call the back end, when you move out. So there are a number of different contracts in different villages. I think on average we would say that probably 30 to 40% of the sale price, not the purchase price, the sale price, the back end, would be retained by the owner of the village, be it a not-for-profit or a for-profit, as their deferred management fee. And that's how they make their money. So they're waiting on average 12 years to generate that surplus. Yes. Now, but once that happens, a village, the likes of the Village Glen, has probably got a life of 100 years, and we're 40 years into that. So clearly over that 100-year period, at 12-year average stay, there's 8 rollovers. And clearly there's capital gain, so it takes a while to generate cash surpluses, but then it does happen.
So when the villa is then unsold after someone's departed, is it still this formula of approximately 80%, or how is that price indicated?
Well, it really
is that market price or?
It roughly.
Right.
Like villages look like real estate, but they aren't real estate.
Right.
No, they look like real estate.
Yeah, because they look like an everyday street that you're walking down.
The value proposition of a village.
Correct. The really good ones like ours do. Yeah, that's it.
So the value proposition is a number of things, a small part of which is a house to live in. So you're not buying a house, you're buying, and people don't come to the Village Glen or Tom's Villages or Village Baxter because we're selling them a house. They come for all the other things that they perceive at that stage of their lives their need, which is the security, the nurses on call, the maintenance provided by people when they pay a monthly service fee. All those things is why people come, and a part of that is the house to live in.
Yes.
But in the first instance, when they see it, it looks like a house. So in essence, our prices go up roughly by what the property values go up. But as I said, the model is about 80% of the surrounding real estate. So in the Village Glen's case, we do a bit better than that, but we're probably a high-end village because we've got wonderful service like golf courses, which has to be paid for,
golf courses
and things like that. So in our case, it might be a straight swap from your house in the suburbs to the Village Glen.
Right. So what would the mean price of a village like yours be today? Just put a price on it.
Ours is around $500,000,
but
you can pay as little as $350 and as much as $750.
Okay.
But on average, around
and that's within your village.
Within the village, it's a very large village. It's not typical of most villages because we've got 600+ units. Yeah,
right.
So it's quite large.
That's large.
And our Eastwood retirement village in Bairnsdale, you know, you got median house price at about $280,000. We're $390 to $415.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because of the services that we provide.
Yes.
All right, well, so yours are 500, yours are, say, 300. So let's come in at 400, right between the two of you.
Yeah, thereabouts.
So regionally across, around around Victoria,
yeah,
400 is your reef. Yeah. Okay, so 400.
So that's the traditional contract, but
so the traditional
I think the way the world's trending
yep.
with an ageing population, mm-hmm. with governments with huge amounts of financial pressure on them, and when you understand that 87% of my residents at the Village Glen are pensioners, and they're deriving the bulk of their income either from a full pension or a part pension,
mm-hmm.
so they're on limited weekly incomes. So, and with the government changing the rules of income and assets tests and because of this tsunami of older people heading their way, quickly realising that within the next 10 or 20 years, under the current way that the governments are supporting older people, they'll run out of money. So they're fine-tuning pensions and pension entitlements. So what I'm seeing in the marketplace now is that the purchase into a retirement village is becoming as much as a housing option, a financial option,
mm-hmm.
where people are now looking a lot harder at their finances, getting professional financial advice, restructuring their affairs with a financial planner to make the best of what they can
so
for themselves.
Prior to moving in or prior to
prior
purchasing.
To moving in, because once you move in, you know, there's a, like we say to our potential residents, whilst you're thinking about your residential options, have a good health check of your financials as well, because this is a good opportunity before you sell your house, which is exempt from assets tested set. Before you do that, great opportunity to look at all these things, try and gaze over the horizon of what things are going to be like in 5 and 10 years' time, because there's nothing worse than moving into a village, making some bad decisions and can't afford to stay there because of the monthly charge. So villages now are offering more than one contract. I mean, at the Village Glen, there are three different contracts, depending upon your financial circumstances. So you can cherry-pick the one that suits your financial needs, and we advise people, if you've got assets over and above your home, go and seek some professional financial advice before you come and talk to us.
So in theory, and this is a question, for the monthly fee, I can pay the monthly fee. Can I defer the monthly fee forever? So can I actually set that off against the selling price of the house?
Correct. We have a contract where there is no monthly fee.
Yeah.
And clearly the deferred management fee is higher.
Yes.
It's not a reverse mortgage. It's nothing like that.
No.
But it sort of looks like that financially, because you get less at the back end, but the journey, the 12 years, you haven't been paying your monthly charges. So we're finding a lot of people who are married couples on the full pension find that very attractive, because they worry about when one of them predeceases the other and their pension goes from a full pension to a single pension. If I can't afford to live in the village and there's this device called a deferred management fee, so I sell my villa, what do I buy?
Yes, because where would you go?
Because I've now got less capital to spend, because I'm not getting all the capital gain. So we offer this product where you can actually pay no monthly fee, and about 40% take up. So clearly people are looking at that as an advantage to them. So it depends on everyone, and we say this, it really depends on your own personal financial circumstances. Correct. Talk to the family, talk to professionals, make sure you try and work out what's best for you, and then we'll try and help you with a contract to suit your needs.
Because I would assume from a government point of view that what they would like to see is when you fall off the perch, there's nothing left for anybody.
As Chad says, the trick in life is to die with a dollar in the bank.
Yeah.
that's my life goal.
It'd be nice.
You're right. The government love retirement villages because, in essence, people are self-funded.
Yes.
They're doing lots of things that councils and governments do themselves within their monthly charge.
Yes.
And that the new home care package regime is throwing money at that to get people to stay either at home in their home in the suburbs or at home at their home in the village. Much cheaper for them to support you there than in an aged care facility.
Yes.
So, Tom, how does yours differ?
In the context of the financing and the financial arrangements, that's what I would like to actually say. When you make a decision to come to a retirement village in any of its forms, it's actually a financial decision. It's not actually a property per se transaction. in the normal sense of you buy and sell a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't trigger all the normal things like stamp duties, GST and so on. So they're really good things because we try and tell our people that it's better to keep the money in your pocket. And what Pete's saying is occurring in our industry in meeting the what I think are the challenges of the changing financial environment. And I've really noticed it since GFC. I know nobody remembers that, but 2008, 2009, that changed the world for a lot of retired people, because all of a sudden the family home became a very, very important part of the financial planning. Up until then, the general consensus of a person that would come to our villages anyway would be that I've got a home, I'm going to sell that, I'm going to downsize, I'm going to have a little bit of money left over, and I'm going to live on the pension. And I'm, with the extra capital I've got to invest, I'll be fine.
Right.
Whereas what's actually happening in reality is people are looking at the family home, because so much erosion and real value of the money they had pre-2008 is just not there. So you actually have to financially plan it. Like Pete, and this comes back to your question, Brody, in a roundabout way, like Pete, we have clients that come in the into our offices and we sit down and say, well, what can you afford? Is a deferred management fee contract and a retirement village that has that contract appropriate for you, for your financial planning? In other words, can you be a homeowner and still afford to live? Or do you need to be a non-homeowner and actually lease the property? And we have leasing arrangements where people can get you $500,000 villas for between $164,000 and $185,000 up front. And then the balance of the money's managed along with the benefits from Centrelink and so on to provide an affordable lifestyle, access to capital, and therefore investment accordingly.
And so, there's government subsidies for that.
And there's government subsidies.
Through the rent assistance program.
Yeah, rent assistance program. So $3,500 a year, $300 a month. That's
So do you have sort of financial planning within your staff structure, so to speak, if someone was coming in?
I'm going to jump in here,
to
Pete.
Assist with that? Or, sorry.
Pete has a very cool... you might have heard in one of our previous shows, we talked about the opportunity that came about when the regulation changed around my aged care and the way the government appropriates the Commonwealth packages to assist people in their homes. The Village Glen did a terrific thing and introduced, I think it's the ads on the TV, not on the radio, the Flexi...
Peninsula Flexi Care.
Well, we've done a similar thing in Gippsland. We've called it Encore Home Support. And what we've done is teamed up with the aged care providers and also financial planners. So we're actively in the process of promoting the service to help people navigate through My Aged Care in order to work through the finances, the physical needs, and what's the most appropriate place of accommodation for you, given that there is a variety of different types of retirement villages, types of lifestyle villages, and it's different strokes for different folks. And the finances that undergird that have to be, you know, well researched and well thought through. And that's the challenges of our industry, is to meet the growing demands of this aging population and the challenges of getting old and putting it in perspective of what is the most suitable living environments and most suitable living financial arrangements.
Yeah, and neither myself nor any of our staff offer financial advice, because that would be a conflict of interest.
Right.
So we certainly are aware of the issues, and we make our clients aware of the issues, and then we say, we can't give you the answers.
No, but
because clearly we've got a conflict of interest trying to sell
advice.
You a villa. However, we do know of people who are not related to us who are really good at what they do. They're qualified financial planners whose expertise is in this area. And we say to people, for goodness sake, because a lot of people say, oh, yes, I've got a financial plan. I say, yes, but do they really know the nuances of the
because
Aged Care
Act?
This is
quite a niche, I would imagine,
it is.
Within
and
financial
we
planning.
We strongly recommend that they go to people who just focus totally on the aged care sector, be it the retirement sector or the nursing home type living.
Right.
And there are a number on the peninsula who are very good at it. And and we refer, we give people two or three names, say, we don't care which one you choose, any one of them are any good.
But they specialise.
They specialise, go and talk to them, and then come back and talk to us when you've had that conversation.
We've actually had to help some of those financial planning organisations, you know, come up to speed with dealing with our particular clientele.
Right.
Because historically, other than the aged care environment and the negotiations associated with the accommodation and those things, the independent living environment has largely been ignored.
Right.
Because it's usually a reactive event, isn't it? That financial planning gets involved with estate planning and asset and so on because somebody's had an accident, gone into hospital, coming out looking for respite and so on.
Why wouldn't you go into lease, that lease arrangement?
We've looked at it. I look at it a lot. And clearly, Tom's smarter than I am.
No, that's not true. I learned everything that I know about retirement from this man in the seat next to me, so I'm pretty cool. But no, we've had to be. We've had to be.
I can't make the numbers work.
Because the obviously it's cheaper to enter into your agreement initially, right, than it is to go into yours. Mm. There's more left at the end of yours than there is at the end of yours. So.
But there's some other differences too. Like we charge an annual management fee, whereas and under a deferred management fee relationship, you get a lump sum at the end of the tenure of the resident.
Yeah.
So I think it's a long. It'd be fair to say that Tom's business is a cash flow business,
where
our business is a capital business.
Yes.
Right.
So we wait a long time for our profit, and we make enough money to be a good business, but we wait a long time. So. In Tom's case, because of the rental assistance and his annual management fee, he's getting the money along the journey.
Along the journey.
So it's just a different financial model, really.
Can I just say, we have villages with both. So I have traditional deferred management fee villages and we have our rental leasehold villages. And then another form of village... which we haven't really represented significantly here is the manufactured homing estates, which is where
the land lease villages.
The land lease type of villages where people actually buy the home and then technically the home is a relocatable type of construction.
Oh, yes, I know.
And then people enter into a ground lease
to
rent the land that the house sits on. And that's another financial model.
So they've
model.
Actually purchased the building
correct.
And then leased the land. And
they own the building, which is transportable.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas
do they normally
to a degree,
move them?
You probably need sky crane to move.
I was about to say, they look quite permanent.
They do, don't they?
They do. They look quite permanent.
I think it's a bit of an anomaly.
Well, it is an anomaly. But the other thing is I've found that the majority of people that want to live in a whole-of-life solution actually want a slab on ground.
Mm.
The age group we deal with traditionally likes a brick veneer, slab on ground. And we get real funky. You know, we recess all our doors into the slab. We have no steps between garages and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure it's adaptable and accessible housing. You know, a lot of the key components in that are done.
So does that mean you have wider doors
absolutely.
And everything like that?
Yes. You've got to do those things because that provides a whole of life solution. Anecdotally, Pete, that's what we're finding. You know, the manufactured homes estates, particularly the older ones, the ones that have been around 20 years now, people are actually looking to move out because the home doesn't actually
meet
it's not functioning.
Because most of them, if you go to them,
they're
you have to walk up steps.
I was about to say, they're usually a couple of steps up or something.
Yes, they do. Yes.
And that creates challenges as people get older. Mm-hmm. They've worked very, very well for what I would consider a younger retiree.
Yes.
And they seem to work really well in the warmer climates.
Mm. But they're very popular.
They
spring up everywhere. So
I
suppose it'd be fair to say in our sector, that's the affordable part of the sector.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And affordable doesn't mean cheap.
No.
Because they are really beautiful products.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
They are lovely homes.
They're lovely homes.
And the villages have wonderful facilities. They're just, their target is a different target to what we have. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
We've run out of time. Running into overtime and we've got another guest waiting outside. So,
Thank you,
Has
gentlemen.
It been helpful, Brody?
It's been fantastically helpful.
As always.
It's like turning a tap on, isn't it?
It is.
I reckon we could go for an hour and a half, don't you reckon?
I reckon you could be here for a fortnight.
Cool.
Would bring in sandwiches and put a cot down, you'd still be going.
No, mate, sausage rolls. We need sausage rolls. If you've got sausage rolls, it all works.
Anyway, it's been lovely to see you. Next week I won't be. Brendan will be here sitting doing the buttons. Vicky will be back.
Stuart sends his apologies again. He won't be here next week, so it'll be Tom and I again. Will it? It'll certainly be me. Will you be you?
Would you like me to come?
I'd love you to
come. Of course
you
will.
We'd love you to come.
We're going to hold hands and we're going to have another wonderful session. And actually,
we've done
Brendan before. A seance. No, we don't have to do that, mate.
All right, guys. Lovely to see you.
Thanks
very much.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to see you, Vic.
Bye.
You idiot.
And you're with the Age Stage. And we'd like to introduce our next guest, Jeanette Lane, who is here from PACE, which is the Peninsula Advisory Committee for Elders. And Jeanette, you're here to talk about World Elder Awareness Abuse Day.
That's right, yes.
And how are you today, Jeanette?
I'm good, thank you very much. And how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Age Stage.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to see you.
Now, it's World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and this is on the 15th. Of June, is that correct?
That's right. It's 15th of June.
So what happens on this particular day?
Right. On the 15th of June, actually, right across the world, everybody is celebrating World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Mm-hmm. And if people want to know about it, they go into their computer and they type in World Elder Abuse Day, and up will come on the screen a map of the world. And on that map, it will have be marked with purple in the areas across the world where they're celebrating that day.
Right.
And
this is to raise awareness.
It's to raise awareness, actually, yes, right mm-hmm. across the world, actually. And what they'll notice, actually, is when they're looking at that, there'll be countries that don't have any colour on it. Mm-hmm. And most of those countries that don't have the colour are places where the families look after their parents.
Right, yeah. Right.
Usually the dark skin, they've got darker skin, the people there, yes.
Right.
So it's in the countries across the world where they've got white skin people living.
Right. So you're suggesting that elder abuse occurs more in the white community than it does with people that are not in the white community?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, is it really? That's the case?
Yes, yes.
So we're the horror show.
Pippin?
We are the horror show.
That's right, yes.
Oh, dear. So give us a countries that particularly are known for bad abuse so that we can put it into perspective.
Well, it'd be the countries actually where the people have got darker skin, where they're brought up as children to respect their elders.
Right, okay. So yes. they're the good places to go.
That's right.
Right, okay. Right. Well, we've got a lot to learn from that.
We do. So how prevalent is elder abuse in our community? I mean, it's a sad reality, I think.
Yes, it is. It is a sad reality. So sadly to say, elder abuse is a large problem across the world, and that includes Australia here. Here on the Mornington Peninsula, PACE has been conducting programs on elder abuse for the past 5 years and getting the message out to the community. The police now have a new police station at Somerville where they are servicing people who are victims of family violence and elder abuse. So that is just fantastic for us down here.
So they've built a facility.
That's the new one.
That's the new one at Somerville.
Right, yes. Right. Okay.
Yes.
And typically, who are the abusers when it
abusers actually
this?
Usually are a member that somebody they know, right? And a lot of abuse is carried out by family members and friends.
Right. So it could be your someone's own child is what
that's
you're
right,
saying.
Yes.
And what is the most common then?
The most common actually is money.
Right.
Yes. It's usually the most common thing is that the children want the money the parents have. And they want their money.
So is it? And physical abuse, or it's everything? I would imagine. Sadly.
Yes, it's mainly all concerned with money. The whole time, it's very, very, very rarely physical abuse, but it's
right.
mainly when they're after the money because they know that when the parents go, they'll get the house, and they want the money now.
It's a
very depressing idea, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It is a very
sad yes. And sadly to say, actually, we have a different world today to which I grew up in. It's we have a world today where the families work out how much money they are going to get from their parents and when they pass on, and also their belongings. And it's a world now where families think that their parents owe them things as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The parents? They think the parents owe them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's the attitude.
Wow. That's not fun, is it?
Yeah.
Better not have that opinion of me. They're in for a rude shock. The cat will get it.
The cat.
So,
or the dog.
Yeah, been done.
So, Jeanette, what protection is out there? What if you know, sadly, that this is happening,
yes.
how would you deal with that?
Well, if you know that this is happening and you know someone who is a victim of this situation. Mm-hmm. They contact Seniors Rights Victoria, who provide information, support, advice and education to help prevent elder abuse and safeguard the rights, dignity and independence of older people. Their experienced advocates and lawyers provide a welcoming and respectful environment where older people can talk about their experience and choose their preferred course of action. Elder abuse includes physical, emotional, financial, social and sexual abuse and neglect, which is pretty sad.
It is very sad.
And so if you know someone who is experiencing the elder abuse, get them to contact Seniors Rights Helpline on 1300 368 821 or send an email to www.seniorsrights.org.au.
We'll repeat that at the end.
Yes.
The trouble, though, is that in all seriousness, if you have an elderly lady on her own, kids want the money, it's insidious the way that they go about this. And while she will worry herself to death, which is probably what they're trying to achieve, she would be feeling all sorts of guilt. They would make her feel so guilty.
That's right.
That she would find it so difficult to talk to these people.
They'd find it very difficult. And that's the reason why PACE, right, and elder abuse is the special day, Weed Day on the 15th. We're going to be down at the plaza at Rosebud, mm-hmm. Handing out information and purple ribbons for people to wear on that day. And we'll also be up at the Benton Square Shopping Centre handing out information up there as well.
But the back to this business of them being so ashamed, embarrassed, I can't talk about this. This is for private family business. I think they would turn on me. They wouldn't talk to me anymore, or whatever, yeah, and whatever. All of that emotional bullying.
That's right.
Must be so hard to counteract to get them to get any counselling whatsoever.
Because they'd be too scared, Brody, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it means that the way I'm seeing it is we need to really be looking out for our neighbours and for elderly friends and just sort of be more conscious and aware, because I think it is a very sad indictment on society if this is what's going on to people literally next door to us, and that it is their own family, as what Jeanette has said.
And that's the sadness, actually.
Overpowering them,
yes,
so to
it
speak.
Is. Yes. And one of the things the government is working very hard on, this is state government here at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm actually on a committee for this, actually on they're dealing with it the same as family violence.
Yes.
And one of the good things that's happened is on the 2nd of December last year down here at the Lighthouse, the Yacht Club, not the Lighthouse, the Lighthouse, we had it lit up orange, and we had at the Yacht Club at Macrae, we had a function where Fiona Richardson came down,
yes,
and she was presented Gerard Mansour, who is now the Commissioner for Senior Victorians, $1 million actually towards. And he's got that money now as the Victorian Ambassador for Prevention of Elder Abuse.
Right.
And representatives from Seniors Rights Victoria were there as well. And we have him coming down here on the 22nd of June to run another program for us, and it'll be up at Mornington there at the Mornington Shire in Queen Street at 2:30 it's starting.
That's where the library is in Mornington.
Near the library.
Yeah.
Yeah, near the library. Yeah. It starts at 2:00 till 3:30 on the 22nd.
This is raising awareness of elder abuse, protecting your rights. So is this for individuals to go to that are experiencing elder abuse, or?
Yes, anybody who's experiencing elder abuse can come to that program. And
right.
We'll have two people there that they can talk to,
right,
and help, and we'll be able to help them as well and give them direction. And Jerry will be speaking about, you know, what has happened, you know, things on elder abuse.
Yes.
Gary Ferguson will be also speaking from Seniors Rights, and we'll be giving afternoon tea as well.
Right.
And there's no booking has to be made. We just want you to turn up and
be informed.
And be there, to, you know, we'll be there to assist and present information, etc.
How prevalent do you think it is down here on the peninsula, would you guess?
It's very difficult to say because we run programs frequently in the senior groups and that. And we can pick at one program we had 12 people who were victims.
Right.
And in another program we've had people sit and cry who were victims.
You must get a lot of that, I would think.
It's very sad.
Because of the it's just the shame. That's the trouble, that they're made to feel so ashamed.
If they're a parent, they probably think, am I responsible for this as well?
Yes, for their behaviour. Yes. You know, what have I brought up here?
Yes. I think
there's just so many different cases, really. Yeah. That's the sadness.
And mental bullying is just so awful. I mean, physical, yes, you know, but it happens. But the mental bullying is like cancer. It eats you. Just eats you away. It's awful.
And doctors down here now are aware of this as well.
Right. You know, so they look for signs.
They look for signs. And if you go to, you know, if you go into the doctor, if you talk about it, you know, that a lot of the doctor's surgery, you've got posters up and things and they'll have information there as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeanette. Thanks so much for coming in and speaking about this particular topic. We really appreciate your time. And as we said, there is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day is on the 15th of this month. And if you know anyone who happens to be experiencing this situation, ask them to contact Seniors Rights Helpline on 1300 368 821 or send an email to seniorsrights.org.au.
And if you have any concerns about their physical well-being, then you go and talk to the police.
Yes, of course.
That's very true. Yes.
And if there's any sign of any physical issues, then you must take it to the police. Jeanette, thank you so much for coming in.
Okay.
We will get a report back for you about how it went, I hope, after the 15th.
Yes, we'll have on. Yes, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
And you're still with the Age Stage, and we'd like to say hello and welcome to Serge Sado, who is CEO of the Family Mediation and Counselling Organisation. Thanks for joining us today, Serge.
Sorry, Serge, I had you tuned down. Are you there?
Yes, hi.
Good man.
Now, Serge, your organisation has a service in place for helping to prevent elder abuse. We've just been talking about that in our previous segment as well. So can you tell us a little bit about the organisation and the services it provides?
Yes. So a couple of weeks ago we launched a new service that aims to prevent elder abuse and also support older people who are experiencing abuse of any kind. And the service is funded by the Lord Mayor's Charitable Fund. It's free.
All right.
And we're actually getting a lot of inquiries about it, and sadly so.
I was about to say it's one of those programs which is wonderful to have, but to have such an influx is probably a sad reflection of what's going
It's one of those programs you really wish we didn't need. Unfortunately, it is something that's becoming more prevalent. Currently, look, conservative estimates are that around 10% of older people are being abused in one way or another. The Royal Commission in Family Violence suggests that they're probably being underreported. And with our ageing population, we now have 1.5 million Australians over 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
10% of that is a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
It is something that's much more prevalent than what we'd anticipate.
Right. And so what sort of help is there? Is it called Respecting Elders Service, is it?
So the program is called Respecting Elders. It's a support and conflict resolution service.
Right.
Fundamentally, it offers an alternative for the older person that feels like they're being abused in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
It offers them an alternative in going down either the criminal pathway, reporting them to the police, or the legal pathways, which is often really adversarial.
Right.
And the complex thing about elder abuse is typically two-thirds of the abuse is the perpetrators are either their son or daughter, which is a really sad situation. So for many people, it's incomprehensible to take their kids to court, because often what that would do is dissolve the family relationship.
Yes.
So the service we offer is not adversarial. It's a four-step service that aims to, first of all, do a very, very accurate assessment of the situation, take the needs of the person into account, and then build their own, empowering them to make decisions where possible, mm-hmm. And building their own confidence in dealing with the issue. And where necessary, we bring the families together to discuss it, if that's an option, or we can even go down the road of more formal mediation. But always respecting the underlying objective of the older person, which is often to keep seeing their kids and grandkids.
Oh, of course, of course.
It's quite a complex situation.
Yes, yes, it would be.
It's bullying, fundamentally, isn't it?
Well, it is a form of bullying. Look, it's actually a form of family violence. The definition in Victoria, it meets all the criteria. The abuse can range from financial abuse, physical, psychological, in extreme cases, even sexual abuse. Mm. So it's all kinds of abuse. The most common kind would be financial abuse, where they're disempowered, either their assets are being sold or they're accumulating bills on their behalf. There's a range of different things that are occurring. So it is a form of, a bullying, but also, because it's within the family context, it is a form of family violence as well.
In that sense, it's almost a question of theft. If, and this is a hypothetical, but I would very much like your opinion of it. Let's say we have a person, the house is, they have a home, it's sold from underneath them by the children, and the wife, the person involved then becomes aware that, really made aware that they've been bullied into this and forced into this.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility of redress, i.e. getting the money back from family under these?
Yeah, look, and that's a complex legal situation.
Yes, it is, I know.
And certainly there are ways that the older person, the legal pathways that they could take to demonstrate that the sale of the property or the asset was out of their control, was not something that they'd agreed to. But the complex issue around that is that when you go down that path, then you're fundamentally engaging in a very adversarial process.
Yes.
And so the implications for the older person are that essentially it will dissolve the family unit, and often that means grandkids as well. And it's a terrible time of your life to not have family contact.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're finding is that often the older person will suffer in silence and just continue to let it happen simply because they're too afraid of what it may do to the family unit. And so what we try and do is find ways to dissolve it. Now, obviously, if they've already gone out the path that you've just explained, then that's quite an extreme situation and it's often hard to come back from that. But always we will take their objective and their needs under control into account to see if there is any way that we can somehow maintain that family connection.
Well, another form of abuse which is peculiar and very much part of the today issue are the grandchildren, how they get left effectively with to bring up grandchildren. And and when you're 80 years of age and you're trying to bring up an 11-year-old, it's hard work.
That's right. And that's, often very selfish acts from the kids who, in a sense, are using the older person for their own purposes. And I suppose what we're trying to do with the individual is really give them the confidence and even sometimes the skills to address it. Often it's about having a tough conversation. And so the program aims to, by raising awareness, get in early before the issues become really problematic. So when they start seeing, for instance, bills accumulating, which might start being small bills, to immediately address it rather than waiting, till the house is sold. So that often means helping the older person build their confidence, their resilience, and supporting them through the process and giving them a bit of self-determination. And so that's why we really want people to as soon as they feel as though they're either being used or abused in any way, to do something about it immediately.
Mm.
And if and also, as we were saying earlier, if you're perceiving that of someone else, it may not be your family, but to try and, I suppose, support that individual as well to step up and be able to have a voice.
Exactly right. And I think up till now, in many people's minds, the only option they have is to go and see a lawyer or to go to the police and report them. So what we're doing is, well, look, here's another option. By getting us involved, we can do a family meeting, or we can counsel the older person to build their strength. There are a range of things that we may be able to do that will avoid them having to take adversarial time. So we're really keen to get the awareness of this program up and going. We're excited about the opportunity. We think it's unique. And while there has been bits of this type of service around through various community centres, what we're doing is bringing everything together. So we also have we have 85 staff around Victoria. So we have mediators, we have psychologists, we have financial counsellors.
And is this across the region, or is it across Victoria? Is it something rolling out nationally? Sorry.
Across Victoria.
Across Victoria.
Yeah, across Victoria. So we can provide wraparound services. So if the family consultant works as well, the person realises they may need some form of financial counselling, then you could bring in a financial counsellor or a psychologist. So we're able to really give that wraparound support.
Right. Right. Is there a centralised phone number or website?
That's right. So the phone number is 1-800-639-523, or they can go to mediation.com.au.
Mediation.com.au.
Can we have that number again?
1-800.
Yep.
639-523.
1-800-6. Right. Terrific. All right. Thank you so much, Serge, for sharing with that today. It's been a great show. We've concentrated the last half an hour about this very subject. So
yes, yes.
Well, look, good on you. We really commend you, because it really is an important issue that needs to be discussed and often neglected, because there are so many other important issues.
Yes.
To discuss, we really want to bring this.
Well, it is,
and I appreciate your support.
And I would get on to other community radios around the countryside, because I think it's also one of those things that's going to happen potentially in a less sophisticated society like the rural community, where it needs to be addressed to.
Exactly right, and that's why we want to really get on the ground and start getting this information out of local areas.
Thank you. Thank you, Serge.
Well, thanks for your support.
Take care. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was interesting.
It was very interesting. You know, a little bit depressing.
It was a bit.
But a you know, it's out there and very necessary that we need to raise that awareness.
Yeah.
Now you're
anything is yes. dreadful.
Now you're off next week.
I am. Brendan
for a few
will
weeks.
Be in, Brendan will be in the seat for the next three to 4 weeks.
Right.
And so between the two of you, I'm sure that you'll be fantastic.
We shall miss you though, Brody.
I was solo. At least you have somebody with you. Anyway, it's lovely to have you back. The show was going to be so much better for the fact that you're here.
Thanks, Brody.
Look after
yourself. Have a great holiday.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye.